Now grab that pew Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 3, the scripture reading. It's an amazing, marvelous passage because Paul writes this church, this letter, to the church at Ephesus, a congregation where he had preached for 3 years. It's an amazing church, and Paul's closeness to the church, and they know him, and so there's so much that he says that is so encouraging and persuasive. For example, he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, that I bow my knee to the Father in prayer for you. So here he is, he's praying for the church at Ephesus, and this is the church he preached at longer than any other place. And he wanted to encourage them because he wanted them to be faithful to the Lord. But it wasn't just a matter of ethical persuasion that says, I'm praying for you. He says, there is a reason why God can work in your life. And you and I need to listen to the words of this. Whenever he says, I bow my knees to the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer is, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. And if we were in leadership training class, we'd say, look at every word in this passage. We don't have time to do that tonight. But you young people, if you want a passage to study, read every word of this. What's he saying? I am praying that God will work in your life so that the inner part of you, that's the soul, so that who you are and what you are might be strengthened by God according to the riches of His glory. And there is, if you'll stop and think about this for just a moment, the glorious riches that God has and the riches of His glory. And He says that according to all of the glory of God, and is there anything more glorious than the fact that God works inside our souls to change who we are? You think about your past life or the past life of others whom you have known, those individuals whose life have been transformed because they were strengthened by God. And don't go crazy whenever you read that he might be strengthened by his Spirit, as though God in some miraculous way is just going to zap you while you're walking down the dark road at night and you're a weak Christian, and then all of a sudden heavenly lightning comes down from heaven with a resounding thunderbolt. It shines around you, and you've been a weak Christian, and all of a sudden you get up and you say, man, I really am strong. No, the church at Ephesus knew what it was about and how the Spirit was working in the church at Ephesus. When they came together, they did not have a Bible to read. And so there were individuals who were filled with the Spirit of God who stood up and said, this is the will of God. And as they listened to the Word of God being proclaimed, that the Holy Spirit of God used those very words to transform their lives. Then that's what we were singing about. How shall the young secure their hearts? How shall they be clean? And the answer is, by taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And that was what was happening there in Ephesus. And even their singing sometimes was characterized by individuals who were given songs to sing. They came out of paganism. And so there were those spiritual songs that God gave. And He gave spiritual prayers because they didn't know how to pray as they ought. And so when they came together, the Holy Spirit of God, through these individuals who had had the laying on of the apostles' hands, the whole church was strengthened by everything that was happening there. But the reality is, it was not the presence of these spiritual songs, the presence of these spiritual prayers, the presence of these spiritual men that strengthened them. It was what was happening in their hearts. And just because there's someone who knows the Word of God and can get up and in the absence of a message given by the Spirit, they take the words of the Spirit and give a message from the Spirit. The strengthening took place in the inward part of that individuals. And we talked to our young people in this leadership training class about being active in worship and to listen and say, this is what God wants me to do. And God expects us to be strengthened in our souls, not because we come to an assembly and we're rather passive in the assembly, but we're there. And God's Holy Spirit, right this very minute, by the very reading of the words of the Spirit, is trying to change your soul and make you to be a better person. But how's that going to happen? Well, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know where faith comes from. It comes from hearing the will of God. And he said that you might be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts because you spent time in the Word of God. It's through faith. And then he mentions one particular topic. I am praying that the one thing you might know, that you might know the love of God. Look in verse 19. The love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Here we are trying to be Christ-like, and we're so full of ourselves that we struggle sometimes. And the very whole design of God coming into our life, whether it's in this assembly or when we're reading the Bible by ourselves, it is for God to work in our hearts and in our souls so that we're not full of ourselves, we're full of God. And we become like David of old, a man after God's own heart. But he talks about this love of God that passes knowledge. You heard of 3D movies and things of that nature? Can I tell you about 4D in verse 18? 4D love of God. And you can read this. If you don't think a lot about it, you can sort of get a picture of it. We think in three-dimensional terms, you know, but here's the four dimensions of the love of God that you may be able, in verse 18, to comprehend with all the saints: the width, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love. And if we don't meditate on the love of God and have an appreciation of just how great God is, we have missed it all. And so Paul's away from the church at Ephesus, and he writes back and he says, here's what I'm praying. My prayer to God for the church there at Ephesus is that they will be the kind of people who will allow the love of God to be understood, and that they would be the kinds of people who, because they're spending time in the Word of God through faith, they are transformed into the very image of God. Instead of being filled full of self, they're filled with the fullness of God. Because you see, God's Holy Spirit works on our hearts just as much as God's Holy Spirit worked on the hearts of those individuals in the first century. God is not going to zap you with a bolt of lightning from heaven that will make you spiritual. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. It's not that I'm not spiritual and then all of a sudden I'm slain in the Spirit, which is not even mentioned in the Bible, and when I get up, I'm spiritual. That's not the way it happens. But it happens whenever the words of the Spirit are heard in my heart, by my soul, and I am thereby transformed into the very image of God. And then look at this, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to him be glory. He talks about the glory of God when in verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, you may be transformed. And then he says, because you are a transformed people, because you're full of God through faith, because Christ dwells in your heart through faith, then the church itself becomes the avenue through which the glory of God continues throughout all ages. The old King James says, world without end, to all generations, forever and ever, the New King James says. Is that you? Are you this kind of individual who wants to serve God and to be faithful to Him? Are you this kind of individual who says, God, I really want to be like God wants me to be? How much you long for Palm Beach Lakes to be that way? If Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that they might be, according to the riches of the glory of God, that Christ might dwell in them, that they might comprehend the love of God, that they would be filled by faith with the fullness of God, why should not every one of us pray for the rest of us here in this church that this is exactly what will happen? And you just imagine when all of the church is filled with the fullness of God. We're going to sing a song of invitation, and if you're not a child of God, you need to become a child of God, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to repent and be baptized that your sins might be forgiven. If you're an unfaithful child of God, then you need to turn back to God and return to Him in order that you might be hear those words at the end of time whenever the Lord says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You hear that? Faithful, full of faith, transformed into the image of the Lord. If we can help you in any way, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?